At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Here we go. Conference finals are set, following a spectacular game number 7 between the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. And so we've got the Dallas Stars against Edmonton, Drew, and we've got the New York Rangers against the Florida Panthers. Your thoughts on the final four?
Well, I was looking today, Danny, and I like it because all of these teams were tops in the National Hockey League. You had the Rangers number 1. You had Florida, number 3 or 2. You had, Dallas number 2. You had Florida number 3 or 4. You've got Edmonton down at 9. So they're all top 10 teams. They're all 100-plus point teams. They've all got superstar players. There's a lot of intrigue going into this. And I think it's great. It's been a really good playoff in the first 2 rounds, but it is only the first 2 rounds that we've gotten through. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see if our friend Joe Pavelski and Pete DeBoer and Mason Marchment can get things going. Steve Spott can get things going for Dallas. And, you know, all these teams too, Danny, if they win the cup, it will be at least 25 years for any one of these teams to have won the cup before, except for, of course, Florida has never won it before. The rest of these teams, it's taken them at least 25 years now to get back to this spot to win it.
You know, it seems like a long time ago that the Edmonton Oilers played the Carolina Hurricanes all the way to game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Can you believe it? That was 18 years ago.
2006, for crying out loud. And it was our great friend, Brett Hennekin. That was one of the great moments. I still love when we go to Carolina, see that picture. You can see Brett, how happy he is. That was an incredible series. That was really goaltender driven when you look at it, from Cam Ward and Dwayne Roloson, or Roloson gets hurt and Carolina and Brett Hennekin, Ray Whitney end up winning it. Peter Laviolette was the head coach of that team, head coach of the Rangers. I look at it and I think to myself, I mean, there's still some connections to the past without a doubt, but it has been a long, long time since any of these teams have been able to get close to winning the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be a terrific, I think, conference finals matchups. Both sides, I should say. I look at the Rangers and Florida and think to myself, ooh, that's going to be a testy, testy series.
It's going to be. And we're going to go over all of these groups in just a few minutes. But let's go back and take a look at how these teams got there. Might as well stick with Game 7 right away. What a spectacular Game 7, Drew. I thought that, first of all, the atmosphere inside the building in Vancouver was incredible. But as has been the case in the playoffs, especially with these Canadian-based teams, the other building in the other city was packed too, and it was crazy there, not only in the building, but outside the building.
Yeah, in Edmonton, they packed the building. And then during games where we stay at the Marriott, there's an open space area. And during the winter, it's a rink. It's got some bars and things across in the little area they call the Moss Pit now. Not Mosh, Moss. Don't know why.
Oh, because of Joey.
Joey, of course. So they call it the Moss Pit, and it was packed. It was absolutely packed. People stand there, look up at a big screen, and watch the game. Like in Toronto, they do Maple Leafs Square, just outside the rink. And they were happy last night. They were happy last night. I thought, you know, Danny, I watched that game, and I thought to myself at times, is this really a Game 7? There wasn't much going, like, the emotion that you and I are used to with Game 7s with the Sharks, I thought to myself, is this really a Game 7? Vancouver, I thought for the first two periods were halfway through the game, they had four shots. They're not a volume shooting team, but four shots? They got zero shots in the first period on a four-minute power play. Four minutes, zero shots. How is that possible?
Well, that was the key to the game. Ryan McLeod taking that double minor for high-sticking Elias Pettersson. And, you know, Pettersson hasn't scored since we've had several presidential and prime minister changes, which, is, of course, has been a topic of discussion in Vancouver. I don't think you should blame the poor guy. He does a lot of different things. But unfortunately, they couldn't make an impact in that situation. And that really was a big difference in the game.
Yeah, it was. But then as you were texting me last night when – They got things going. They finally found their rhythm and they got that goal. And then that's one. The old Logan Couture, that's one. That's two. But they couldn't finish it off and get it to three. But it was interesting at the end. The emotion showed up there.
Well, it sure did. And it started out really well for Edmonton. And what was interesting was that the defensemen were intimately involved in setting things up here. It wasn't so much McDavid and it wasn't so much Draisaitl. Instead, we saw Cody Ceci get the team on the board in the beginning.
Is that a good face-off situation? And Ceci blasts one home! Cody Ceci, top of the right circle, scores to open game seven as he did 2 years ago in the Los Angeles series.
1-0 Edmonton at that point, and then, of course, a missed opportunity for Vancouver as far as that double minor penalty was concerned. And then Evan Bouchard getting involved and showing why he's been one of the superior players in the playoffs.
We'll send it around. That's going to be picked up by Hyman. Spin move to the inside. Drop pass for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Bouchard thought about a one-timer. Looked for a lane. Let it go. And scored! Evan Bouchard!
You could hear that thing ping off the post. Yeah. And one of the reasons why it got by Artur Seelofs was because Zach Hyman got a little piece of it on its way in. So Hyman gets the goal, his 11th of the playoffs. He's having a great run. Evan Bouchard, though, getting his first of two assists in the game. He now has 15 assists in this playoff series. And, of course, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, the role players in the Edmonton Oilers in the critical game, were getting it done.
Well, I think this was the third time in this series, Connor McDavid had 0 points in seven games.
That is the third time, yes.
And Leon only had an assist. And for years with the Edmonton Oilers, all they talked about and all everybody talked about was Leon Connor. They don't have the depth. Well, now they have depth. It's taken a while, but now they have depth. And that depth, as you said, really showed up in this series.
For me, the key is the depth, not so much with the forwards, although that's a factor, but what about on defense? You know, getting Matthias Ekholm last year was a start to it. The development of Bouchard, CeCe coming into his own as a player. They've got a good set of defensemen.
Yeah. Well, we know that Ken Holland, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers from his days in Detroit, knows how to wheel and deal and get guys. And we'll talk about Dallas too. I think the one thing that gets underrated with Dallas and Jim Neal and Jim Neal's time in Detroit is how well Detroit drafted. And I think that's all Jim Neal. I don't think Ken Holland's a great drafter. I think he's a great trader. But some of these guys were drafted before Ken got there. Some were trades. And they built a very, very good team, obviously. And when you have Connor McDavid, you have Leon Draisaitl, and then you can sprinkle out these guys, and these guys can come to the forefront and make contributions, that means you've got a really good hockey team.
Well, that you do. But, of course, the Vancouver Canucks have a really good hockey team, too, and they got things going in the third period, but not before Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scored what proved to be the most critical goal of the series.
Waiting. Bouchard, one-timer, ripped wide. Rebound, Nugent-Hopkins scores! Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, power play goal!
And it was on the power play. Of course, Edmonton is absolutely lethal when they get the man advantage. They haven't necessarily been that in this series, but boy, when it really mattered, Nugent-Hopkins was there. And notice it wasn't McDavid. It wasn't the top unit, but it was old number 93, former first overall pick, who is the forgotten first overall pick so often, set up there by Bouchard and Draisaitl to make it 3-0. That power play goal came with about 4.5 to go in the second period, and it put Vancouver in a major hole.
Yeah, it did. That was when I thought the game was over. I looked at Vancouver. They were disheartened. I didn't think that they had much juice going. As I said, they looked rather pedestrian in a game seven at home, but they weren't done yet.
Well, no. And I saw that some other people were tweeting, it's over. The series has, concluded. You might as well not play the third period. But in the back of my memory, I remembered Bob Arey's rule number 14. You're never out of a game. Possibly you could get a 5-minute major penalty. Of course, we saw what happened in 2019 for the Sharks in that condition. But with 10 minutes to play in the third period, it was 3-0. And all I could think of was that game number 7. And then all of a sudden, things changed a little bit with Connor Garland getting into the act.
Hironic. Left wing to center for Pettersson. Dumps it behind the Oiler net. Skinner out of the goal to handle. Leaves near corner for Desharnais. Centering pass. McLeod turned it over. Comes to Garland. Right to the net. He scores! And Rogers Arena comes to life. Connor Garland with a huge goal in the second half of the third period. Makes it 3-1.
You could tell by the atmosphere in the background what it was like in Vancouver. I think that you get a little bit more of that from the Vancouver broadcast for whatever reason, but boy, you could really feel it.
Yeah, you really could. And they were waiting for something. They needed something. They were waiting for team do something to give us something to cheer about. And they did.
That was one. And here comes two.
Lindholm and McDavid on the draw. Lindholm wins it. Right circle for Hughes. Darting into the corner, spins away from Nugent Hopkins. Top of the point, Hironic, one timer, he scores! His first career playoff goal, and what a time to do it! 4:36 left of the third period. It's a 3-2 hockey game.
What a moment that was, and I was starting to get all the memories in my head of that game back in 2019. But as we found out, it's really, really unusual, rare, almost yes. impossible for a 3-0 deficit with 10 minutes to go in Game 7 to ever get evaporated. It came close. Give Vancouver all kinds of credit. But unfortunately for them, fortunately for the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton team moves on. And now, if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, you got to feel pretty proud about this learning experience that I thought that the Canucks team would have and got.
Do you think that they were ahead of schedule, right? Nobody expected them to come out of the gate like they did and do what they did. So they're ahead of schedule. Now, expectations in Canada, of course, will be expectations in a hot hockey market. Kudos to Rick Tocchet and his crew and what they were able to do. So it'll be really interesting next year to see if they can build on it.
Well, that's certainly a big, big news there. And now what about the way they feel in Edmonton, Drew? You worked there for a number of years. I suppose the feeling has just got to be relief. That's it.
Yeah, because this is a team that started the year off with cup or bust, cup or bust, cup or bust. That's all they ever talked about. And it actually got in their heads, and they didn't start off the year very well. Fired their head coach, Jay Woodcroft, brought in Chris Knobloch, and this team is really good. Connor got healthy and then they took off. But yeah, it's relief. It was more than anything relief, because they have the highest expectations in Edmonton of winning it.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We will stick with the Western Conference as we move back to game 6 of the Dallas Stars Colorado Avalanche series, and it all started out pretty well for the Colorado Avalanche in this game.
Jonathan Drouin back up top for McCarr, over for McKinnon. No shots yet. McCarr has it, trying to find his way through. Drouin receives it on his backhand, works to the deep slot. Down low, Mikko Rantanen. He scores! The moose is most definitely loose! It's his fourth goal of the playoffs, his 34th career postseason goal, and the Avalanche power play continues to be smoking red hot. Drouin laid it down low for Mikko Rantanen, and he goes over the left shoulder of Ottinger and in. It is 1-0 Colorado.
And that was certainly a tough moment for the Dallas Stars to deal with, but the captain of the team would come through.
In come the Stars, a backhand score! Jamie Benn! What a move if he took it in front and worked to the backhand. And Benn has the Stars on the board and even here in Game 6.
And so there we were, all even, going to overtime. Isn't it interesting, Drew, that you see these guys that wear those letter C's and A's on their sweaters, and people say it doesn't really mean anything. But those guys that are the designated leaders of the team have to come through in the big games, and Jamie Benn's been doing it for years.
He has been doing it. And didn't he come alive this year? Like, down the stretch, the old Jamie Benn showed up. Now he's been playing a long, long time. But, excuse me. Down the stretch, and that goal was a beautiful goal. Dadonoff, oh my goodness, what that team is so deep. But Jamie Benn is back, boys and girls, and he's hungry for a cup. That's why Dallas is my sentimental favorite, because Pavs, Marchment, and Pete and Steve, but some of those guys that we like that play in the other team, always been good, hard-nosed players. They're going to get their shot here. This is their shot to win it all.
I'm a little bit early on this in this show, but I'll mention it now. Isn't it interesting that of the four teams, all four have at least one ex-San Jose Shark on it?
Yeah. Thought the same thing, pal. Thought the same thing. Yeah.
It happened here in this game. It was 1-1 with Dallas and Colorado. Really the pressure on Colorado, and the Dallas Stars showing why they're a real threat, because on the road, they're an amazing team. And it got into overtime. And then we had yet another disallowed goal. What were your thoughts on that one with Matt Duchene getting disallowed on a play that I thought maybe should have counted?
I thought 100% it should have counted. Matt Duchene was out of the crease. He was not in the crease. It was off a faceoff. They ran the play they wanted. He was perfectly positioned. Cale Makar pushes Duchene. Duchene gets tangled up with Georgiev. I mean, how much room does a goalie need? How much room do you want? Do you want the guy to go all the way back in the slot? Can't come closer than that. And he got tangled up and then basically just gave up on trying to get across on Marchman's shot, bang, goal. Now,
I didn't even think he was in the goal crease, to be honest.
He wasn't in the goal crease at all. It was Georgiev's stick was out of the goal crease. But the NHL said, and Mason Marchman explained it after the game, that the rear end of Duchene had broken the plane of the crease. That's a new one for me, Danny. I read the rule book every game. I go back. That's the Ron Wilson lesson when he told me that I'm a good broadcaster, but I don't know bleep about the game. Read the rule book 3 pages every day. I still do it to this day. Nowhere in the rules if a defending player knocks an attacking player into the goalie, the goal should count. But there's the rule book, and then there's the situation book. And we don't get the situation book.
Well, of course, then you've got the Charlie Coyle situation in the last series, too, that
right.
gets involved.
Right.
If the offensive player pushes the guy, it's okay? I don't think so.
What the fans want, what broadcasters want, what we all want is some sort of consistency. And we certainly aren't getting it in this playoffs when it comes to goalie interference.
I'm sure it'll be a topic of A, general managers meetings,
oh, yeah.
B, board of governors meetings, and C, all kinds of pundits all over the country as far as that goes. But for the Dallas Stars, it didn't really matter because Matt Duchene, the guy who was in quotes robbed of that series winning goal in the first overtime, ended up getting one in overtime number two.
Off of Manson's stick, he then lost it. Possession of Dallas. Matt Duchene, left wing wall, sends it on the end line. Pavelski, back for Duchene, in the corner. Back for Pavelski, couldn't shoot cleanly. Marchman, where is it? Duchene, he scores! Who else could it be? Matt Duchene in Colorado ends the Avalanche season. And he has sent the Stars to the conference final for the second straight year and the third time in the last 5 seasons. Stars 2, Avalanche 1, the series is over.
Isn't it interesting, again, that he was a former Colorado Avalanche player going back to Colorado? We've seen a lot of that in the playoffs this season. Yeah. I'm thinking Carolina and the Rangers, so many interdimensional type of contacts between these teams. And here's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that play, first of all, Marchment, Duchene, and Pavelski were the best line they had. They were so good. Pavs makes a terrific play to get the puck to Duchene when he's in front of the net on his knees. Somehow knows Duchene is there and scores. On that goal, it was so great to see the joy that Duchesne had. He said going to Dallas has been a blessing, and he's been a blessing for the Dallas Stars.
Well, Pavelski talked about the play after the game was over, and he was kind of nonplussed about it. Listen to how he describes the great play that he made.
Yeah, there's a little came off a harder in there, a little puck battle in the corner. From what I remember, it was a little give and go. Dutch made a nice play to me, kind of I got a stick on it, missed it, whatever. Just hung around there, just a battle. Caught Dutch kind of the corner of my eye on the side, and just tried to get it out there. And, you know, for me and that, you're battling, and you know it gets out to him, and you're kind of just—I just got an eye on the net, and it was nice to see it going.
Well, he put his eye on the net, but out of the corner of his eye, he had to know that Duchesne was there, and that's just the genius of Joe Pavelski.
That is Joe Pavelski, so nonplussed about it. It was fantastic play by him. Big goal. They go to the conference finals again. He's like, yeah, whatever.
Pavelski also talked about the fact that he was really thrilled to see that Duchesne got that goal, given what happened on the disallowed play earlier.
We believe that one counted. You know, it's a gray area these days. It really is. You know, we thought it looks like any kind of contacts outside the blue paint, and then their guy pushed it in. But I think, you know, it was a pretty resilient group in that, you know, in that sense of kept going. You know, we get into the intermission. We were talking about we're going to win this game because we're the better team. It doesn't matter the calls right now. We're going to win we're the better team tonight, you know, especially the second half. We felt like we had legs. We were rolling four lines. You know, everyone was contributing, playing a role, and getting time, and you could feel it out there, this group, and we believed it. Mush was in our ear the whole night. Once we got together, that you know we were going to get it. And he got the one. You know, counting our eyes, I think, and then we had another crack at it and just put in. So yeah, a lot of emotions. It's a fun night. It's double overtime. It's kind of what you think about in the series.
It's when Pavelski's at his best, but also you have to have the resilience to deal with the ups and the downs. And he talked about how Dallas has done that all playoffs.
You know, we've played with the lead a lot this series. And then we got tested here a little bit being down. And I think, you know, their second period, we weren't great. And we were kind of stubborn as far as putting pucks in and how we needed to kind of create. They did a good job in the neutral zone, knocking pucks down, going the other way. So we really couldn't establish our forecheck. It was, you know, you're down game sometimes. Sometimes you got to open up or try things. And what I really liked, I think, in the third and in the overtimes is we were committed to doing it the right way. And we were tie this game up, you know, by our forecheck, by creating some ozone time. And just a great play by Sags and Daddy and Chubbs to get us that one. You know, it was a simple chip, drive in the middle. Daddy makes a great play over and Chubbs finishes it. And that was kind of a huge turning point for us. You could feel the legs coming for everybody. It was third, you know, in the two overtimes was by far the most legs we had.
You know, hearing Joe Pavelski talk about that situation, I thought that Jason Demers came out of retirement, but then I realized that Daddy is not Jason Demers, as his nickname was here, but it is actually Yevgeny Dadonov, who actually has been an important part of that Dallas team.
He's had a really good playoff, but he had a really good series. And last game, he was terrific to help send Dallas the next journey. He's been very, very good for them.
But you know who's really important too? Pete DeBoer and his staff, because the way they've pushed the right buttons at the right time, changing the lineup a little bit, moving guys, giving guys rests for certain games. I think Rick Tocchet did that too for the Vancouver Canucks to get them the game seven. But in this particular case, Radek Fox, who's got that experience, gets back in, really does a good job. And Pavelski says that DeBoer's been doing it for years. It's certainly not a surprise to him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a great coach. Got a lot of respect for him. You know, there's times he coaches us hard, and sometimes he knows what's going on, and he's got a lot of belief in this group and work tonight. So it was a big win for us. You know, we've been going every other day here for a while. You know, try to get an extra day or two and just get some recovery, stay engaged, and we know there's going to be a good team coming. So it's, you know, game one will come soon enough, and we'll go from there.
And they're rested. They get a little extra day in practice. They haven't been able to practice all that much because of the games every other day. Pete DeBoer says that could be important.
Yeah, I'm not worried about rust on. I think it's going to end up being, what, five, 6 days, 6 days maybe. Honestly, with the two series we just went through, I think, you know, we could use the time. And, you know, I think it's actually probably a perfect amount of time that we can recharge and get some guys healthy and get reset for the next round. I think that was rolling that first round into the second round with the two opponents we had was a really tough month of hockey.
And so more tough months of hockey will come with this next round between Dallas and Edmonton.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Rangers in Florida in the Eastern Conference as we continue with episode 8 of our Sharks Stanley Cup playoff report. And who better to talk about the potential challenge than Peter Laviolette, the head coach of the New York Rangers, who told us that Florida is a very interesting team to play right now.
League. I've been playing for the Cup last year and finishing first in their division. They've been a top team in the league. They bring speed, they bring size, they bring skill and physicality. You know, there's some similarities to Carolina and the way that there is a way that they play and an aggressive mindset, and so some of that will be similar, I think, in preparation, but they're also a little bit different. So we're just getting into it now and just starting to get it to the guys and prepare them.
Well, one thing is that Florida has some qualities that Boston didn't have, that Carolina didn't have, and Laviolette talked about some of those.
You know, I think they picked up some good confidence and experience in the last year and a half between making that run in the playoffs, getting in to the playoffs, making that run to the finals. Certainly the year that they had winning their division, the tough division, there's lots of things that they do well. They've got a group that's been around and been there, done that, and confidence, I think, goes with that too. You know, they're big, they're strong, they're physical, but I mean, Carolina's a lot like that as well. They play a fast, physical, aggressive game. They're a little bit different in the way that they both play the game, but there are some similarities. You know, every team's going to present different challenges, and so we just got to make sure we're ready.
Yeah, but the Rangers present different challenges too, and Laviolette talked about one of the Sharks' favorite playoff heroes, Barkley Goodrow, who very quietly is having a very strong playoff.
You know, he's done well. He does really anything that we ask and everything that we ask, from playing different positions to penalty kill, blocking shots, hitting, biting, leadership in the room, things that you don't see. He brings an awful lot to the table. I never once, you know, judged his season on whether or not he was scoring 15 goals or 20 goals. That's not how I looked at his season. He's a valuable person to our team. I'm sure that every player would like to feel that confidence offensively, but he brought so much to the table. I don't think his game's changed in the playoffs. I don't think he's doing anything different now. Maybe it's bouncing for him. Maybe he's got a little bit of confidence. Maybe it's playoff time and it's just elevated. I can't speak to why it's happened. I don't personally think that he's changed his game or he's doing anything different. But we need him to check a lot of different boxes, and he does that for us.
He played 80 games, Drew, and he scored 4 goals, and that's exactly what Peter Laviolette was talking about. We, of course, in San Jose know exactly what he means when it comes to all those little things that Barkley Goodrow provides. And you throw that in with a guy like Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, top players like Panarin, Fox, and you've got yourself something special.
You've got something really special. And when you look at Barkley Goodrow, yeah, the offense wasn't there this year. But when you watch the game, boy, you notice him. His name gets called a lot. Plays along the boards, he gets the puck out. Plays on the forecheck, he seals the boards, keeps it in. He gets to the front of the net. He works in the corners. He's physical. He's in the middle of scrums. The guy he's a player, and he's a big-time player. When the heat's on, Barkley seems to get better.
Well, it all begins the conference finals this week, and it's going to be a fascinating run into the Memorial Day weekend. Drew, very quickly, give us your predictions for these series.
You know, I don't predict anybody, but here's who I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for the Dallas Stars because of the reasons we talked about. When it comes to the Rangers, Florida, I can't go against the Rangers the way that they're playing and the people they've got. But I can't wait to see Tkachuk and Trocheck getting in each other's faces the whole series.
That's going to be one of the most fun parts about that one. And of course, the goaltending matchup between Shesterkin and Bobrovsky is going to be an amazing one. Meanwhile, on the West Coast, I think Jake Oettinger could be a difference in the series if he is on his game. But again, we will see. They have Pavelski and the other team does not. So that's going to be a fascinating time. We love it. And we are going to have all the coverage right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Until next time, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.